Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Beside Ourselves, Sunshines, and welcome to the death-defying desert that we all live in now. We are reviewing My Chemical Romance's Danger Days, and I just wanted to sound like the radio host at the beginning of that.
I see what you did.
Oh, I was gonna say, I'm like, did you play too much Fallout recently? Like, what's going on here?
Look alive, sunshine.
Na-na-na.
Hi guys, welcome. I'm Danny.
Hi everybody. I'm Shakuna.
I'm Benny.
You are Benny.
That's a sad sounding Benny.
Yeah, that is a very sad sounding
Wake
Benny.
Wake up, Benny. Be happy, Benny.
Say hello to Sunshine.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, no, yeah. That's a Finch album. Never mind.
That's a Finch, yeah.
Yeah. So, this is Dan's album review. So Dan, I'm gonna let you just introduce this whole episode and why we're listening to this album.
All right, so in 2010, My Chemical Romance dropped an album called Danger Days, The True Lives of Fabulous Killjoys. It was their follow-up to their big album, The Black Parade. This is not including the conventional weapons EPs they put out after that, which were a great album that should have been just a full album.
Yes, agreed.
But this was their last album currently, because there's still rumors and stuff happening with them. They released one song, went on a reunion tour, and there's a chance they could put out another album and totally redeem themselves. So let's see.
Yeah,
it's funny. I think I mentioned that album being one of my songs of that year, and I haven't listened to that song at all since I was oh yeah, it's one of the best songs of the year. No, I don't take it back, but yeah. I haven't listened to that song once.
We listen to a lot of music, man.
We do. True. And what's crazier than that is this album is almost old enough to get its learner's permit for a driver's license. It came out in 2010.
That's wild.
I know.
That's wild.
It is. It's amazing how long that this band's been around for, and still continues to tour, surprisingly enough. So good on them. But anyways, without further ado,
I chose this album because there have been people telling me that I should give it another chance. I should go back and listen to Danger Days because when it came out, most fans, I was not the biggest fan of it.
Same.
So I was like, let's bring it to the podcast before I listen to this again, and let's see what we all think.
Well, and if I remember correctly, too, when we were hanging out with, name dropping right now, Chicken and Waffles Forever and Vinyl Stooge over in Vegas this past October, I remember somehow we brought up the conversation of this album, and I remember saying it was trash. And Waffles looked at me like I had just shot his dog in front of him. And he was like, no, you take that back. And I'm like, no, I will not. It's a bad album. And he's like, no, it's very, very good. How dare you? And I was like, oh, okay. Apparently I struck a nerve there. So I was kind of intrigued to listen to this album again, because maybe I was looking at this through poop colored glasses instead of rose colored ones, because I too own this album on vinyl, but can't tell you the last time I've spun it. As a matter of fact, I don't know if I ever did. I think I just bought it because I wanted to complete my My Chemical Romance collection.
Yeah.
Along with all my Conventional Weapons EPs that I have.
You had to drop that.
I did. I did have to drop those because those are so amazing. Yeah, I can't tell you the last time I've listened to it. Probably when it first came out. So, yeah, I'm kind of excited to get back into the track listing again and see if my opinions have changed or are better. Or something. I don't know.
Or worse.
Sure. That's also an option. So, yeah. You guys ready to dive in the track listing?
Why not?
Okay, cool. I'm going to skip us over to track number two, because the first track is literally just a 30-second intro of some sort, a spoken word intro. But it's called Look Alive Sunshine, which Dan already alluded to when he started off the podcast here. So we're going to move into track number two, which is Na 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 in... in brackets, na 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 na. That's a lot of nas for those.
Did you
of
get
you... I don't
Is
know.
The right amount of nas.
It might be. Hold on. 1, 2, 3,
nah.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's 12 nas. So just the 12 nas song. Let's give that a quick little listen, shall we? We shall. Yeah. All right, Dan.
I want Benny to go first.
Oh, you want Benny to go first?
No,
oh,
you can go first.
You're like seething over there. I'm ready to hear what you got to say.
No, okay, so
the song's playing, you're going.
Dude's
like foaming at the mouth.
My nose is plugging. Okay. I can't breathe.
Sure, sure it is.
Yeah, it is. Sorry. I'm sorry that the listeners forgive you that little nose snot. But so I don't know what this is supposed to be. So the intro, I was like the first look alive sunshine. I was like, what the fuck is this? And then as it's bleeding into I was already checked out. I thought it was like lame. I don't know why the first track, maybe is because I already expected this to be terrible. So I went in with that mentality. And I think Shakuna already mentioned it before, but having like the rose colored glasses on, I started doubting my fandom. But I mean, it wasn't for me. And I was like, fuck, if this is what the next 16 songs is gonna be like, I'm in for a long ride.
Strap in, boys. We're for a long one.
Buckle up. It wasn't for me. I mean, again, it's the first real track, and I wasn't feeling it.
So yeah. Gerard says this was the beginning of what he really wanted the album to sound like, because they recorded an album, they scrapped it, and then they started over. Obviously, the Killjoys and the concept behind the album are all comic book related, because Gerard Way is a comic book nerd,
right?
Which is awesome.
Sure.
And he really wanted us to bring us into that universe. I actually enjoy this chaotic song. It is a little cheesy, and it's lacking so much in production-wise compared to what you're feeling. Like, the grandiosa feeling you get from Black Parade or Everything Off Conventional Weapons is not in this album for the most part. Mm-hmm. It is a very stripped-down, instrumentally, for them kind of album. And you feel that a lot throughout it. Creatively, I think it's pretty fun. It's just not fleshed out like it should be.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one, Dan. I think I wrote just my notes, actually very, very simple, like one sentence. It feels like a bit basic for an MCR song, but the na-na-nas make it very much like an MCR song, which make up for it. It sounds very much like it should be at home in something like on Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge or something maybe even before then, like I Gave You My Love, You Gave Me Your Bullets, or I forget what the title
is.
Is that right? Okay.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. Anyways, it's like I said, it's very, very simplistic in its song structure, but it's, you know, it's a baseline, borderline, serviceable MCR song. I wouldn't say it's, you know, nothing groundbreaking, but also not anything horrible either. Mm-hmm. But anyways, we move on to track number 3 on the album, which is called Bulletproof Heart. Let's give that one a little bit of a spin. Okay, can I go first?
Sure.
Yeah.
I fucking love this song. It is arguably my favorite song on the album. Strong chorus, feels like something that could have been on Black Parade, but it also has like a little bit of something, some new kind of instrumentation. Feels very much like MCR trying to reinvent themselves. It's but yet staying true to like their kind of like their songwriting roots. This song is just like, it's everything. Was this a single by chance?
Shocking,
because it fucking should have been. Because
there's
that
three singles on the album,
which
this
are
was not one of them.
So what
it
were the
was Na Na Na, Sing, and then the one I can't wait to talk about, The Kids from Yesterday.
Okay, right on, sweet. Well, we'll get into those when we move on the line. But I, like I said, I fucking love this song. It's my favorite song on the album.
So same, Shakuna.
Nice.
Like, my favorite song, hands. It's not even fucking close. I bought this album on vinyl. In preparation for seeing like them like live, I think it was how fucking year that was. But
sure.
On the tour I saw them where I was like in the fucking nosebleeds. I bought this album for that song because I'm like, I fucking loved it. and they didn't even fucking play it.
Oh, bummer.
Of course not.
And I was so upset. I'm like, what the fuck? And again, at the time, I had not really even really given this the time of day. I've heard so many bad reviews of this album that I'm like, fuck it. And I went on Reddit just to see, and this song surprisingly wasn't like a big hit amongst the fans I saw. Like most like the lists that they had, like Bulb of Heart was not at the top of the list. It was like near like the mid.
Interesting.
I'm like, what the fuck, guys? Like, and again, to each their own. Everyone has their own opinion.
Sure.
But to me, this is like
there's just happens to be wrong. Song. That's okay.
Yes, exactly. And this is the strongest song by far, in my opinion, on this album. Like, it's my favorite song. 100% for sure.
Yeah, it fucking rocks. Dan, what do you think?
So the vocals and guitars are giving me 50s dancehall vibes. Mm-hmm. It's very synth pop. The first time I listened to this, I listened to this album a few times before I made my notes.
Sure.
I did not like this song as much. But the second time, after I felt what they were giving us for this album,
mm-hmm.
because this whole album is a departure from what they've done, but it's still, like you said, has roots to my MCR, especially in the like vocal delivery and lyrics. It's
yeah,
every
totally.
Song is still very MCR in every way.
Yeah.
But because of the synth pop vibes, I didn't love this at first, but my second listen, I was like, all right, now that I see where the direction is for this whole album, I do love this song. And I think it's a lot of fun.
It is.
I feel like this song would have done better if they would have just released it under a different name. This probably whole album would have done better if it was just like, we're not MCR. You know how like,
yeah. Like
Green
how
Day
like
released albums under a totally different name than Network.
Or how like Garth Brooks changed his name to Chris Gaines to make his like emo country album back in the day.
Like this was such a departure from their normal sound, but it like you said, it's not at the same time. That if they would have went under a different name, this probably would have been a fucking hit.
Oh yeah, for sure, without
and
question.
This song is great.
Yeah, I'm surprised this wasn't a single. It should have been because I feel
that
like it would have sold more.
I cut over you for a second there, but the chorus, man, I fucking love.
Yeah, it's solid chorus. Solid chorus. All right, gents, we move on to track number 4. You guys ready to sing?
Yeah, let's sing.
Let's sing. The song's called Sing. Let's go listen.
All right, I want to go first.
You should, Dan. Go first.
I read that this is a concert staple for them and probably a favorite among all the fans off this album, but I can't fucking stand this song. I hate this song, and I think it's so cheesy. It's generic and simple and peppy, and I hate it.
So, I don't know if you finished, Dan. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay.
I'm going to let you finish, but
I don't know if this song is bad. I was kind of on the fence. I'm like, it's fine, I guess, but I just thought lyrically it lacked so much substance. Like they're just repeating the same shit like over and over again. I don't see the point of the song at all. Like as I listen to it again and again, I'm like, I fucking hate it. Like it's like that's what I was like this. I get it probably is like probably popular. It's probably good to sing along to, but it just I don't know. I personally was not a fan at all.
Yeah, same. So this was one of those songs that I listened to. So I listened to the album start to finish about 3 times before I formulated my notes, pretty much similar to what Dan did. But this is the song that I kept on going back to a few times. So my first listen through, I listened to this song 3 times in a row before I went on to the next one because I was like, do I not like this song because it's boring or am I missing something? And just like, after the third listen, I was like, yeah, I just don't like this song. It's fine. There's nothing more else that I can say than it's just fine. It's the chorus kind of saves it, but ultimately it's completely forgettable. There's nothing to it. So yeah, it's yeah.
No, I totally agree.
It's just fucking boring. Anyways, track number 5. Gentlemen, you ready? Planetary parentheses.
Go!
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it.
Who they want you to be, who they want you to see, kill the party with me, and never go home. Who they want you to be, who they want you to see.
Okay, please. Can I go first, please?
Sure.
Okay, cool.
Go for it.
Hey, hey, MCR, Power Man 5000 called. They want their When Worlds Collide back. Thank you.
Is that all you got?
That's all I have. That's all I got. That sounds... Are you going with me? Because I'm going with you.
Oh, that's so true.
Yeah. That is Power Man 5000 When Worlds Collide.
So, I mean, that's a one part that I couldn't fucking stand in the song. I don't know why. Like, that whole, like, shouting with the drums in the background. I was like, fuck, I'm over it. I that was one part I noted in it, and I'm just like, nope. I put nope. Period. And that's...
that yeah, I put two massive thumbs down after my Power Man 5000 comment. I do not like the song
that was
at
great,
all.
Actually, because after you said that, that's all I hear now.
Yep.
It's all I hear.
Yep. Dan, redeem
it. One of my favorite tracks on the album. I actually love this dancey vibe, and the theme is not holding you back and just fucking go. It's clearly a synth pop banger. I really love this song.
Wow. Hey. Okay. Right on. Good. Fair enough.
The energy was there. I just enjoyed it. It was fun.
I mean, I'm not saying it's not a dancey song at all. It sounds like a the Wish.com version of Power Man 5000 and World Collide. That's all. Anyways, okay. Track number six we move on to, gentlemen. This song is called The Only Hope for Me Is You. And let's give it a quick little listen.
So,
all right, go ahead, Danny.
I actually enjoyed the song a lot. And actually, so as I'm going through the songs, I was kind of rating them as I went, and this fell second, in the song so far that we kind of went over. But that also doesn't say that much, just because the majority of the songs that we listened to, at least in my opinion, I was not a fan of. But after Bo Poop Heart, this is my second favorite, and I thought it was catchy and well done. I mean, it sounds very, in my opinion, very MCR. Mm-hmm. And I was very happy to hear it because I thought it was going to be a long, long ride. And luckily, the song for me was a turning point, well, at least periodically.
For sure. I wrote, I get what MCR is trying to do with this song, on the side of it being more like an anthemic space rock kind of big power ballad emo tune. But it sounds like something that Coheed and Cambria did and probably did a little bit better. Kind of feels like a cheap knockoff to me. It's not a horrible tune. I enjoy it, but it's also nothing groundbreaking for me either.
So I didn't think the song was bad, but I didn't love this song. It basically, you know, when like you know how Paramore did that remix album where everyone else remixed their songs?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this sounds like a song that would have been on Black Parade, however, like Gunship remixed it.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, I can hear that.
Synths and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine. It just feels like a... Honestly, it feels like a B-side to, the Black Parade.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lyrically and thematically, but it's not a bad song.
I'm not saying it isn't. Wait, when did Black Parade come out? Was that 2007?
Fuck.
I believe so.
Was it 2007?
Do you want to make us feel old?
I mean...
What's the point of this right now?
I'm just curious to see, like, how long of a difference between the two was here, so... I'm also just curious. Oh, 2006. Oh, fuck. Okay. Never mind. I was gonna say, I'm like, maybe it was like 2002, 2007, 2008. Maybe that actually was a B-side potentially, but yeah. Oof, man.
Man, that's almost 20 years old.
Oof. Let's not talk about that.
Fuck.
Let's not talk about that. It's actually just turned 18 this year. That means it's legal.
Ew.
All right, gentlemen, we move on. So there technically is a track number seven. It's called Jet Star and the Cobra Kid / Traffic Report, but very similar to the first track on the album. It's another quick little spoken word kind of filler track to take us into track number eight, which is called Party Poison, which is what I'm going to give you a little sampling of right about now. Dance boy, All right, Dan, I see you bobbing your head. What do you guys say about this?
Let me go first before you guys butcher it. So I fucking love this song. So one, Party Poison is the name of Gerard Way's character in The Killjoys.
Oh, is that true? Okay, I didn't know that.
And also, Frankie's name is Fun Ghoul, which is why I put that as my name, Fun Ghoul. I think this is like one of the most, not that it's punk, but one of the most punk songs on the album. It's dripping with like Tank Girl vibes. I think at this point of listening to the album, especially the first time, I was like, all right, I get the theme now. I get the concept. I'm in Waterworld right now being chased by smokers. I'm Mad Maxing it in the Thunderdome. I got it. I'm 100% into this.
Let's go.
Not 100%. There are songs I do not like, but the theme I'm finally behind. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it.
Which is like right up your alley, I feel like.
I play a lot of Fallout. I'm in the middle of playing it again currently.
Which one are you playing?
Fallout 4 currently.
Nice. Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah, going backwards a little.
Yeah, that's good.
But yeah, I think it's a jam.
Right on. Benjamin, what do you guys say?
I would disagree. even though, like, I do understand and get your, like, take that 100%, but my notes aren't, not really even notes. It just says, what the fuck was that intro? What the fuck was this song? This is terrible. Please make it stop. This song has poisoned my love. My kind of romance.
Oh, damn.
I hated it.
Wow. Okay. Well, I was a little nicer, but go ahead, Benny. Go ahead and answer that question.
What did you really hate about the song?
Maybe because it sounded like so like different from what I'm used to. I didn't know what I was expecting, but I turned it on. I'm like intro. Can you play the intro?
Yeah, I can. Give me one second.
I don't know
here.
What. Like, I think that just pissed me off.
Here you go.
And I don't know why.
Oh, you're talking about the Japanese.
That's just stupid. Like, so that's what I was talking about. And again, I'll give me some anime, but it just, I don't know why.
Really? Because it sounds like you almost don't. Off.
Yeah.
What was that? Sorry?
I said, really? Because it almost sounds like you kind of don't.
Yeah. Geez.
I kind of do. If you know me.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Okay.
If you know, you know.
If you know, you
but,
know.
Well, it's my opinion, guys. So
no, it is. Totally. It's fine. You're in good company here because my comments aren't exactly all the greatest either. I said, this is where the album takes a massive nosedive for me. Cheap guitar riffs mixed with some of Gerard's most forgettable lyrics ever. Hide your eyes because I'm going to shine tonight. Ugh. No thanks. Yeah,
Their last album had a song that was Teenager Scare the Living Shit Out of
and
Me.
And I fucking hate that song too.
Oh, I actually really like that song.
I'm just saying, lyrically, I hate that song.
Lyrically, MCR has gone really good and silly as fuck, and it's worked for them both ways.
Absolutely, but I think this one just kind of falls a little flat. I get what you're saying, Dan, and I understand the punk vibe of this. Maybe if I would have grasped the concept of this album a little bit more as I was going through it, but like I treat it more like a traditional My Chemical Romance album, like Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge, and just kind of analyze it from that aspect and not really knowing the broader context of why this album is. So maybe if I would have had that context, maybe I wouldn't be as negative about that song in particular. But there's nothing there. It's for me, it's once again, it's a very forgettable song. Anywhoozle. Real quick. Yes.
I also want to say I do feel like their comic book concept falls a little flat.
It does.
For some reason, Coheed and Cambria can make a whole six album arc about a comic book. And I've never read the comics, and I still love it.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like this album, if we would have read the comics beforehand and prepared ourselves for these characters in this world, it might have made the album better.
Might have been. I mean,
I don't know.
But here's the thing, though.
I haven't read it.
Here's the thing is I can listen to a Coheed and Cambria album not reading any of the comics or graphic novels.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is, like, you can still grasp it, and it still feels very much right at home with the rest of the band's back catalog. This just feels like it's so far out of left field that it's really hard to kind of just like sink into, you know? Mm-hmm. Anyways, how we move into track number 9, which is Save Yourself, I'll Hold Them Back. Let's give that a quick little listen. Right about now. All right, who wants to go first?
I do.
Okay, Dan, you can go.
Okay, I want to go first because this is another song I thought was fucking awesome. The second time I listened to it, I actually was okay with the na-nas. The first time I heard it, I was like, oh my God, more na-nas, but...
hey, wait a second. You can never have too many na-nas, okay?
Yeah. But the second time I listened to it, I don't know, I find it fun as hell. The guitar and bass are giving more dreadful feeling while the Gerard is singing about taking the moment and never dying.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a nice contradiction. I also wanted to go first because this is the last time you'll hear me say I love a song on this album.
Oh, shit. So, wow. Okay.
I love this song. I think it's a lot of fun, and the album should have stopped at track 9. Go ahead.
Fair enough. My notes are very similar to yours, Dan. I once again, ironically enough, we were just talking about Coheed and Cambria. I wrote here we go again with the Coheed and Cambria vibes. However, this song does feel very, very fleshed out. Feels a lot more grandiose than it probably deserves to be, but ultimately feels like a lot of fun. Not my favorite song by any means, but also not a bad song either. So I just kind of put it like right in the middle.
So like mine, I didn't like it the first time I heard it, and I think like you guys, I kind of like listened to an album like two or three times,
mm-hmm.
probably more than that, to kind of like fully get my thoughts together, and actually thought this was good. I think we all kind of agree that this is like a better song on the album as a whole.
Yeah.
And I thought this was going to be a turning point.
I thought it was.
So I'll just put that as a little like nugget of foreshadowing. But I mean, again, it's a good song. I do like it, and I thought it was going to be a turning point.
I don't want to be too dreadful about the foreshadow of my opinions, but there's one more song I really like.
There's one more in here for me as well, but we'll get into it at that point. Time. But I'm gonna guess.
Don't guess.
I'm gonna take a guess that it's not this next one. It's track number 10. It's called Scarecrow. Let's give it a listen. Okay, can I please go first for this one?
Okay.
Considering, you know, Dan went first last time. I feel like you're going to relate to this very much, Dan. This song sounds like every 16-year-old boy that shops at Hot Topic and watched Nightmare Before Christmas too many times on repeat would have absolutely loved listening to this song. I absolutely fucking hate this song. It's trash. Next. it just feels like this is like a 16-year-old boy that wanders into a Hot Topic like, everybody ready, ready for this. Everybody, hey! And then there's probably like that chick that's like death, just decked out in nothing but straight black and like really, really heavy eyeliner. It's like, oh my God, he's so cute. He's so edgy. It's like,
so
it just makes my blood boil.
Anyways. My opinion wasn't as like strong as yours, Guna. I didn't know if it was good or bad. I hated the effect on his vocals and like the chorus.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck that was, but it totally kind of ruined it for me. Like if that was different, I don't think it was like the fact that he was underwater or like muffled. It just seemed like I don't know. I just was not feeling it at all. And I think that would have saved the song if that chorus was just not like all like crazy, like modify with like effects. I feel like that's what like it ruined it for me.
Yeah. Dan.
All right. So this song pisses me off.
Good.
I love the theme of referring to the police force in this world as scarecrows. I did lore check on all this to see what the fuck it was. Sure. And so, like, the police in this world are called scarecrows.
Oh.
So the lyrics aren't terrible. However, the way it's sung, the way it's put together, this is the biggest sloggy, bullshit, boring song I've ever heard.
True.
It's garbage. I fucking think this is true. Like, but I should like it because lyrically, I don't think it's too bad after reading about what the scarecrows are.
Sure. Once again, but it all comes back to context. Like, you need to, like, understand the lore behind all this before you even listen to this album. So it's like, if you're just the casual listener, you're going to go, what is this song? Why does this even exist?
So yeah, I really don't like the song at all.
Good. I'm glad.
Cool.
I'm glad we're all in agreement here. I love that. All right.
Not as bad as I don't like.
Oh, damn. All right, let's move on to track number 11. It is called Summertime. Let's give that one a quick little listen. Okay, who wants to go first?
You want to go, Benny? I have stuff, but if you want to go.
So, I mean, I dug the intro to the song.
Mm-hmm.
And there was moments when I thought it was going to reach, like, a new level, and it never got there. And I don't know if that was, like, it just seems like it stayed at one level. I didn't, like, rise above where I think it should have been. I mean, it's like a slow vibe, and I guess that's, there's room for that on any album, but I just thought it was missing a lot of things that it just bummed me out. Like I was not feeling this at all.
Okay.
I thought it had a potential to be better, and it just was not, in my opinion.
Fair enough.
Go ahead.
No, you're good.
And the thing too, like, and I went on, I don't know what corner of, like, shitty, like, emo Reddit I was on, but this song, like, on the post I saw, like, ranked pretty high, and I'm like, I don't understand, like, where am I?
I mean, whatever corner of shitty emo Reddit you were on, I'm in that group, because I think that this is, I wouldn't say it's my favorite song on the album, but it's definitely high up there for me. I really love it. It's considering the previous tracks have been really hit or miss, it's good to hear a ballad from the band, because I didn't feel like we got a lot of ballads in this album thus far. So, and this seems very on brand for them, but also sonically well put together as well. So it's, like I said, it's not my favorite, but it's definitely, I would say probably top three, top four of this album. Like, it's, and I love that chorus. That chorus is a lot of just, it's like a nice big fat piece of chocolate cake. It's delicious.
Maybe I just was, like, very, very, like, bitter by this point. I'm just like, fuck everything.
It's entirely possible. Cause I mean, there's a lot of shit that you have to slop through on this album to get to that track. And boy, oh boy, is there a lot of it. Anyways, Dan, your thoughts. All
right, so... Excuse me.
Okay.
I feel terrible for how much I hate this song.
Oh, really?
So damn. I thought it was the biggest piece of Christian rock bullshit driven by a Casio drum loop I've heard in a long time.
Wow. Don't hold back now.
The chorus is, how long until we find our way in the dark and out of harm? You can run away with me anytime you want. And then I just, like, was like, gag, gag, gag on this whole song. But then I read an interview comment from Gerard Way where he's like, this is out of our loop, but who says I can't write a soft song? And I wrote it for my wife at the time, and I think it's really important. And, like, that's when I was like, wow, I'm an asshole.
You are.
Because looking back on it, I don't like it. I'm not saying it's a bad song, though.
Fair enough. All right. Wow. I thought that was going to be the song that you liked.
I wrote a bunch of really mean stuff, and then I read that interview. I was like, oh, I am a jerk.
You fucking jerk. Okay. We move on to track number 12. This song is called Destroya. Let's give it a quick little listen. And no, it's not D-E-S-T-R-O-Y-E-R. They had
Destroya.
To be this Destroya. Yeah. Like Destroya. Like, you know, something that a Russian would probably say. I don't know. Anyways, here you go.
Don't believe in God. I don't believe in luck. They don't believe.
You can.
So this one is hardcore, like you said, influenced by the fact that you need to know the lore.
Right.
I heard this two times, and I hated it. It's sad because it's one of the heavier songs on the album.
Sure.
Yes.
But its theme is directly related to the villain Gerard Way's comic of the Killjoys. It's a robot god that they worship that's telling them to do terrible things. And in that context, sure, it's not horrible lyrics, but if you know nothing about that, like I did the first two times, I was like, this already feels out of place on this album and in this discography, and I can't put my finger on why I don't like this, and now I know more why I don't like it, but it's context. And this song, if you don't know anything about it, it just sounds silly.
Yeah, so, it's, yeah. Go ahead, Benny.
So you said it was about a robot god who makes you do terrible things?
Makes the robots do terrible things. Like, he's the reason the robots are attacking people.
Well, the most terrible thing they made us do was listen to this fucking song.
Wow. Hey.
Because, I thought this album couldn't slide down into the shitter more, and here we are.
Yeah.
I wasn't a fan. And the thing is, I like happy music, but this was not good.
Yeah, I wrote, ugh, and back into the cesspool we go. Confusing song structure and some of the corniest lyrics I've heard from an MCR in a long time. Just, ugh. 2 out of 10. Anyways, all right. Well, hopefully, one of the singles will redeem us, gentlemen. It's one of the singles off of the album. It's track number 13. It's called The Kids from Yesterday. I guess we'll give it a quick little listen right about now. All right. Benny, you want to go first?
You can go.
Okay. Well, actually, I prefer one of you guys go. I prefer to go last.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, because
I mean, all I was going to say was that I might have enjoyed this song if I didn't eat shit for the past 11 songs. I mean, it's not as bad.
Sure.
As the other songs. I mean, not my favorite. I think that, like, as we get through, like, the end, I feel like, Bulletproof Heart is so miles ahead of all these songs, and I think it includes this one. I'm not really a huge fan. Again, this could be me being bitter after listening to like the past like 11, 12 songs, but
yeah,
not really my favorite. But I'm assuming one of you feels differently.
So, industrial drum sounds over lackluster performance from the whole band. This was their last single. This is what they went out on. I get the concept of looking back on your career and seeing how fame and notoriety changes everything, but a little more energy would have described your band much better. This is the most sloggiest. I'm not even saying it's a bad song, but it's the most forgettable final song by a band I've ever heard. Like, there's nothing about the song I remember.
Oh, wait a second. Technically, this isn't the last song on the album, though.
No, but this was their last single.
Oh, last single. Okay, my bad. Sorry.
The music videos, you know how they had music videos for the Killjoy thing?
Yeah.
Like, this was the last one in the little trilogy of the storyline.
Got it.
And this was the last music video they released before, you know, last 2 years ago or whatever happened.
Yeah.
But,
got it.
Like, this is what you go out on.
Yeah, and that's what you leave
depressing.
Us with, huh? Yeah, kind of. A little depressing. So, I'm going to give you a really random reference here because no one that knows this band, probably except for me, I guess. Anyways, I want to play the intro to this song again, just that way so you can hear where I'm picking up this reference from, just to kind of, once again, to bring this home here. So let me play this for you real quick. I think it's right here. Hang on a second. Yeah. So that right there sounds very much like a song from a band called For the Foxes, and it's called Running Back to You. I don't know if you've heard that song before, but I'm going to play a quick little glimpse of that so you can understand where I hear that same kind of like, ooh, from here. Hang on a second. Let me play it back for you. So yeah, I fucking love that song. But yeah, the
this
second
one
I
came out first though.
Oh yeah, it definitely did. Yeah, Running Back to You came out in like 2013, I want to say. But anyways, the second I heard that, I was like, okay, who ripped off who? And then I realized, like, okay, this song came out later, so maybe the other way around. But even so, it sounds like something like M83 would have made for like one of their intro songs as well. It's very boring. It's not there's really nothing to it. It's a serviceable MCR song is what I wrote. Very similar to the Only Hope for Me Is You. But I've heard much better ballads from the band before, and this is just one of those very very forgettable tracks from the band. And God, if this was the last song on the album, I'd say maybe the album has been somewhat redeemed because it's not as bad. But then we get to the last track on the album.
No!
Which is called Vampire Money. I guess we'll give that one a quick little listen right about now. Benny, you want to go?
I kind of want to go. Just I have two things.
Okay, go
one,
ahead.
It's nice that it's called Vampire Money because it sucked the life out of me.
yes.
And two, sorry. And three, two, one, we came the fuck.
Yeah!
Which I was like, what the fuck?
I mean, maybe they did come to fuck. Who knows?
And I couldn't even get through the whole song. I shut it off because I'm like, this is fucking terrible. I can see Dan be like, what the fuck? But it was awful. I'm sorry, Dan. I thought that The Kids from Yesterday was a poor way to end, but this is a really poor way to end an album, in my opinion. Not my favorite. I'm assuming you have a different opinion. I'm definitely really, really excited to hear it.
Shkuna, you want to go next?
Yes, please. I forgot to mention, too, before we started listening to Vampire Money, that there is technically a track before this, which is track number 14, Goodnight, Dr. Death. But once again, very similar to the first track, and I think it was track number 7 or something like that, where it was spoken word. That is, once again, what Goodnight, Dr. Death is. But I do have a quick comment about that in particular. And I wrote, what in the holy hell of Fallout is this supposed to be? Someone dropped the atomic bomb already. Jesus Christ. And then finally for my thoughts on Scarecrow, or I'm sorry, not Scarecrow, Vampire Money. It's hard to keep these shitty songs together. I said, okay, remember how I said Scarecrow is the worst song on the album? Congratulations. This song claims the title. It sounds like the type of tune that the Black Keys would write if they were fucked up a little too much or massively hungover. 0 out of 10. Would not buy.
All right, Dan. Guys. You guys are taking everything way too seriously.
Am I, though?
This song is one of my favorite songs on the album because it's a 80s hair metal party rock song.
Sure.
It is not MCR. It is them just trashing a hotel room, getting drunk, and being stupid as fuck. And it slaps. I think this is a fun-ass song to go out on. It does not sound like MCR. The lyrics are completely redonkulous, but I think it is super fun, and you guys are both being way too critical and nitpicky about an MCR song.
Dan, you want a hug?
This song is fun as hell.
Dan, you want a
hug? This is something the Darkness would have wrote.
Yeah, I could see that too,
yeah,
for sure.
And that's fun. You're just like,
but MCR is
so
in the Darkness.
On them being moody and marching in their black parade that you're like, oh, I can't get behind a really fun Vampire Money song. I know this isn't an amazing song. I think it's fun as hell, and I think you guys are just mean.
You're big mean.
Vampire Money guy.
I'm gonna get my guy liner. I'm going over to Hot Topic and get it. Yeah, anyways. Okay. Reviews time. Yes.
Oh god.
Yeah, sure.
Oh yeah, let's do it. So Dan, you're the one that forced us to listen to this album. So how about your review first? On a scale of 1 to 10, what are you giving this bad boy?
So I'm giving it a 4. It's not the first half of the album and Vampire Money were not as bad as I was expecting. There's that huge chunk of the last half of the album that I will never touch again with a 10-foot pole.
Same.
But I mean, it is my least favorite MCR album, but I have heard much worse albums out there. And if you look at it from a totally different perspective, like I said, if this was a different band and they released this and we weren't looking at it with Black Parade rose colored glasses, we might think this isn't as bad. I don't think it's an amazing album. I don't love it, but I respect it a little more now.
Sure. I think I respect it a little bit more than I know the context behind it with the comic book. But anyways, Benny, your score on this.
So because I really only like two songs, I'm going to give it a 2.
That's fair.
That's fair. I'm gonna give it a 3 because... there's only 3 songs that I really, 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 really like. And it's unfortunate, too, because, like, once again, knowing if I were to have gone to this knowing the lore behind this and reading some of the comic books or something like that, maybe it'd have a lot more of an appreciation. But once again, as we mentioned before in the middle of this podcast, is that Coheed and Cambria does that so well without having to read any of their books or any of their graphic novels. And yet you still feel like you understand a little bit of what's going on, maybe not the full spectrum of you know, the whole lore behind each of the characters, but it's like they still make good jams that all have like a cohesive story to tell. And this just feels like Gerard was like, hey, I wrote this comic book, here are some of the characters, I'm gonna make a song for each one of these characters, but they don't mingle with each other at all. Like the Scarecrow doesn't find its way over to why it, you know, maybe connects to Destroya, why doesn't it connect to Goodnight Dr. Death? They're like, there's no cohesion there. It feels very disjointed. And I think that's the problem. That said, there are some amazing ballads on this song, on this album, which I think is what saves it in my eyes, from being like a complete dud. Like I fucking love, absolutely fucking love, Bulletproof Heart, which I think is like probably the strongest song on the album. And then, like I said, there's a few other ones I really enjoy, but yeah, it's a 3 for me for sure.
I'm glad we re-listened to it. I didn't change my mind about like, oh man, this is a great fucking album. But like I said, now I there's more of it that I respect.
Same.
But not a lot.
Same. Yeah. I really wish that this wouldn't have been the album they went out with, because, you know, I know I feel like I'm beating a dead horse here, but God damn it, Conventional Weapon should have been a fucking album. Like, and that
should have.
And realistically speaking, if they release Conventional Weapons as like a full album, very similar to how Bayside took the Red and the Blue EP that they made and turned that into a new album that's coming out here relatively soon, with a few extra tracks to add in, but beside the point, if they would have released Conventional Weapons, even with an additional few tracks as well, that would have trounced this album in spades. And I feel like it would have been more of a fitting send off for the band, at least, you know, while they went on like their massive hiatus before they kind of resurfaced and now are going back to playing shows. Or maybe we'll get lucky, fingers crossed, gentlemen, that we'll get a new MCR album and it will just completely knock our fucking socks off. But for now, this is a very, very disappointing album for the band to go out on, at least in my opinion.
And I guess I'll say also that I'm sorry, Waffles, for not really changing our minds.
I'm not.
If you're
not sorry at all.
Which I hope you are. I still, like, I went into this only really liking Bulletproof Heart, and I went out thinking the same thing. So,
yeah, I can just hear Waffles seething right now through while he's listening in his car. He's like, fuck, I can't wait to pull over so I can log on to Instagram and yell at all these assholes. No, you don't understand. The lore behind Scarecrow. Blah, blah, blah. I can hear it now. Anyways, that's beside the point. For everyone else that isn't Chicken Waffles Forever, hey, Dan, where can I find you on the internet?
You can find me at EctoCoolerGhost. I've been posting on TikTok again.
Yeah, you have.
And you don't know. You don't go and watch my stuff.
You're right, I don't. Benny, where can I find you on the internet?
You can find me mostly kind of just on Instagram. But if you want to go to like Twitter or TikTok, I can fucking guess. Benny and the Wax. The majority of what I do, like I speak on now, is probably on Twitter or X. And again,
it's Twitter. Don't call it X. Don't give Elon Musk the credit. It's Twitter.
It's fine. And I think I said this before. Like, I mean, I don't really speak on like this stuff on my socials. It's usually about, you know, like about like vinyl or like wrestling. So
if you want to listen to Benny's bad takes on wrestling, then go follow him.
Right.
Yeah. You know what, Benny? I'm gonna make a blood pact with you this summer. We're gonna go back to making TikTok content again. Both you and I. I'm gonna challenge you to make some more TikToks, and I'm gonna make some more TikToks, and we're gonna do that together.
So, you know, I was thinking about and kind of how this the whole thing kind of started.
Yeah.
Because I know that like, so Dan had this like podcast that like before we came along.
True.
Obviously.
Yes.
And then. I think I was like, I was on the TikTok one night and I saw you and Dan, so Shakuna and Dan going live together. And then you invited me on it randomly. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Cool. Thank you for having me.
Well, technically it wasn't random because Dan asked me before we went live. He's like, hey, we should invite Benny in too. And I was like, okay, let's do it.
Cool. So, look at that.
See, he was thinking of you the entire time.
It was meant to be. But that was basically like the first, I guess, like version of what this would become. Mm-hmm. Back when we were doing those fucking like new music.
Those were fun.
Those were a lot of fun. We should do New Music Monday again one of these days, gentlemen.
Yeah, I think it just became like a lot doing like the Monday and doing Tuesday.
Wham.
But it still was. I mean, like it just I was reminiscing earlier today about both of them. Like, oh, that was a good time because it really kind of bonded us to move to this level, and I definitely appreciate that. Appreciate those times. So,
well, and also because Dan
did end it.
Also because Dan did all the research, I got a chance to build out like my summer playlist every single time because he's like, "Hey, I found all this new music." I'm like, "Cool, I'm adding that to my playlist, and I'm adding that to my playlist."
Yeah, it's a lot of work for me, guys.
Oh, whatever. I'm the one that has to add this podcast every goddamn week. I do a lot of work.
Shakuna, where can we find you?
Yeah, you can find.
Oh, yeah.
You can find me at the Big Shakuna pretty much anywhere online as well. TikTok, Instagram. Sometimes I'm on Twitter. Yeah, you can just stop on by, say hello. That'd be cool. Also, you can go to our website, which is www.bsideourselves.com, which you can find all of our merch, all of our playlists, all of the fun stuff, where you can listen to the podcast, where you can go harass Dane to make us some shirts because we have merch for sale. And we got t-shirts for sale. Go buy a t-shirt. We'd appreciate it because it helps keep the lights on and helps us continue to do what we're doing. And also go donate to my GoFundMe. I'm not giving the link. You're just going to find it yourself. So I can buy myself a gold plated Shark Tank bar, and in my second beach house in Tahiti. Thank you. Go to our website.
He's rich.
I'm rich, bitch. Go to our website, www.bsideourselves.com. And with that being said,
it's time to flip the record over.
Na 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 na. Na 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 na
na na na na na na na na na na na na na. Do enough? Was that right? Right amount of Nas?
I'll have to double check. I'll play back the tape.
Save yourself and listen to this album.
Yeah, or. Okay, sorry.